Hi there, you're welcome to the Vulnerability Podcast with PCTV. On here, we explore everything that makes us unapologetically human, because everyone has a story or two. Hey guys, you're welcome to the Vulnerability Podcast with PCTV. On here, we explore everything that makes us unapologetically human. This is season two, and the theme of season two is everyone has a story or two. On this particular episode, I'm going to be talking about a very sensitive topic, which is grief, with your friend. Hi, Fidelia.
Hi, Peace.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. So thanks for doing this with me. Before we start, I will just share a bit of why I wanted to have this conversation. I haven't exactly lost anyone in recent time, at least, except when I was a child. But I have a few friends who, in the course of knowing them, have dealt with losing a loved one and have seen them go through that hard process of healing and just dealing with it and coming out as strong enough, right? Not necessarily a stronger person. But then I also realized, as with a lot of things in life, we don't talk about enough. People just deal with their pain and they get condolences, but then, and sympathy, but then, you know, everybody basically just handles their grief by themselves. So I wanted to have a conversation where someone who has dealt with this can also just share their story, so anybody else who has dealt with something similar can also just remember that they're not alone. And whether they dealt with it good or bad, whether they came out better or they had a shitty time and they're still in it, they can still know that, you know, it's valid, the experience that they're valid, and there's no right way per se to handle grief. So I'm just going to start with, I'm going to be mostly quiet during this episode, and Fidelia will do most of the talking. So I'm going to let you start by just sharing with us your experience as much as you can.
Okay, so my mother died in July of 2015, quite suddenly. And it kind of happened in the middle of what I would call the happiest time of my life at the time. I had just finished the writing workshop that I had dreamed of entering for the whole of my life. I was just graduating uni. I was planning a graduation party. It was like just the happiest time of my life. And we woke up one morning and she was just gone. And I remember sitting by her body while we're waiting for the ambulance, praying to God that he should just bring her back to life and I would be like the most Christian person in the world going forward. I would not sin ever again, which would have been difficult because I prayed, I begged, I cried, and it never reversed. It happened. And on the same day she died, I went to school and I was in a daze. It was like, I don't think it's really happening to me because this only happens in movies, so this is not real. And for the first couple of weeks, I was in a daze until the day we buried her. And when I saw the coffin hit the ground, that was when it really hit me that, okay, this happened and you're going to have to deal with this. So I spent the next few months basically trying not to think about it and trying not to cry, and then waking up at midnight and just like trying to cry as quietly as possible so I wouldn't trigger my sisters or make anybody worried about me. The next few months was basically just me trying to figure out how to go on with life while having this heavy thing in my chest. It was like nobody could really understand what I was going through. And people kept saying, oh, I know how you feel, or I know how you must feel, or I can imagine how you feel. But I don't think, like, if you haven't lost someone who's close to you, like a parent or a sibling or a best friend, I don't think you can actually get it. So take notes. Don't ever tell somebody you know how they feel if you don't actually know how they feel. Because even I didn't know how I was feeling. So how can you know how I was feeling? I was just... There's no manual to dealing with grief. There's no manual to dealing with the loss of a parent. There's no manual to dealing with the loss of someone you love dearly. And you're just stuck every day trying to imagine the rest of your life without this person and trying to picture what life would have been if that person was around. For the next 1 year, I kind of just immersed myself in alcohol because it was an easy way to escape. I was doing my NYSC at the time in Ibadan and there wasn't a lot to do. There was just like work twice or three times in a week. There was a lot of free time on my hands. So I was like, ooh, let's dabble. And I drank a lot of alcohol. Well, not a lot, like addiction, but I never used to drink before then. So that was kind of when I fell in love with alcohol, because it just helped me forget about the pain in my chest. And there was this thing that happened where for like a year after, I couldn't write about it. So background, I'm a writer-ish. I'm a writer and expected that I would be able to put my feelings into words, but it was the scariest thing ever to even attempt to write about it. I remember I had this note on my phone, on my notes app, where I just like put down a few sentences that were supposed to be formed into an actual piece talking about my grief, but it was just like not happening. I couldn't write anything down. And I think sometime in 2016, I finally wrote something titled Truths, which was basically me just coming out to say, this is what I've been dealing with and this is how I've been dealing with it. So in 2016, I finally was able to write something. I think I wrote two different pieces that kind of talked about my grief. There was one titled Truths and there was one titled Finding My Way Back to Prayers. So after my mom died, I found it impossible to pray. Because my mom was a devout Christian. She ticked all the books, all the boxes. She was praying, she went to church, she did all the things a good Christian is supposed to do. So it just felt like if someone who is a devout Christian could just like randomly die, then what's the fucking point? So it was just, I would maybe close my eyes, but it just felt really ridiculous. And I think that was the beginning of the end of religion for me. Oops. So I wasn't praying. I hadn't prayed for like a year. So I finally wrote that piece that was basically to me talking about how grief made me question my faith and doubt the validity of religion. I don't mean to trigger anybody, but yeah, it was like, if I could pray and promise and beg, why didn't it happen for me? I know like some Christians might have like an explanation for that, but I didn't really care at the time. I just was very mad. Yeah, I was very mad at God. I was very mad at like whatever forces driving the universe, because I just felt like she didn't deserve to die. I was really depressed and my anxiety levels spiked. For like 2-3 years after my mom died, I would have very unrealistic and unnecessary worries about the people I loved. Like if a best friend or a sister went out and I hadn't heard from them for 2 hours, I would imagine like all the worst things have happened to them. If I called my dad and he didn't pick the first time, I would have a full-on panic attack. Just like, oh my God, what if something has happened? What if he has died? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it still happens till today, to be honest. I was calling my younger sister last week when she went out and she didn't pick twice. And I was just panicking like, oh, what if the Uber driver has kidnapped her? It was just something very irrational. But I think that's like my biggest side effect from losing my mom. I have very irrational fears about the people I love, because I don't think I can survive another grieving process of somebody very dear to me. Which has made COVID even more scary, because it's like, what if someone close to me gets it? And yeah, irrational fears. And there's also the depression, there's the anxiety. There's just a lot of side effects that come with grieving a parent. And it's been, they tell you it gets easier, but to be honest, I don't really think it gets easier. I think the load gets lighter and you think about it less often. But when you do think about it, it's just as heavy. I still sometimes just randomly cry when I think about her and just like grieve. There's something that also happens to me. I'm now a crybaby. I cry over everything. I think I need to talk to my therapist about it. But like, I could be watching a movie and somebody random dies and I'm just like crying. I had a show I watched recently. It's called Hollywood on Netflix, and I was really enjoying it. It was perfect until the last episode. A character I loved dearly died. And I was crying ugly tears. Like, why? Why would they kill him? It wasn't even necessary. So I think that it kind of just sensitizes you towards death. And you could hear that somebody's auntie's cousin's brother died, and you just find yourself grieving afresh. And whenever my friends lost their parents after my mom died, it just it made it fresh again. So if a friend is grieving, I just get into that frame of mind. I remember a friend lost her dad, and I was in the office when I found out, and I had to like go into the bathroom and just cry for minutes before I called her. And even when I called her, I wasn't coherent on the phone because I was crying. And she's like, yo, chill. She was the one comforting me, which is not a good thing at all. You shouldn't like cry more than the bereaved when you're trying to comfort them, but I just couldn't help myself. And she understood because we had gone through that grieving process together. Peace, your questions.
So first of all, thank you for sharing. I'm glad that you shared all of that, and I'm sure it wasn't easy. I have a few questions, and the first one is, you already spoke about it, kind of what you're just talking about, how it has affected your mental health. How have you dealt with that? Are you still in that space of like very serious anxiety? I mean, because I don't know if you would ever go, but just sort of like bringing yourself back to make sure that you can still be a human being that thrives.
Yes, so I've been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. So I have an anxiety disorder. And I don't know if that is as a result or that is aside, but well, we're here. So yeah, I still have like a lot of anxiety. I no longer have the irrational fears, feelings about my loved ones. But I mean, it comes up sometimes when there's genuinely a reason to be scared, but it's not as bad as before. And I'm nowhere near as depressed as.
How are you dealing with it? What's helping?
I'm in therapy. I see a therapist like every other week, and that has really helped me with questioning my thoughts and figuring out why I feel certain things and just being able to interrogate them. But I'm also surrounded by lots of love, and I have the best friends and the best siblings and the best dad and the best lover. And yeah, that I think being surrounded by a lot of love and basically doing things that make me happy. I think the first few years I was not doing things that made me happy. I was just allowing myself be drawn into that darkness and just allowing it to consume me. And I had to actively take control of my life and be like, yeah, I don't want to be unhappy anymore. I want to be happy. Mm. And yeah, that has really helped. And therapy also helps. It's actually giving me the technical tools to tackle those feelings when they come up and just not allow them be the boss of me. I'm now the boss of my feelings. But yeah, it was really dark at first. The first 2-3 years were really, and it was, I kind of was scared to show people how much I was struggling, because people just, I don't know if people expected me or if I expected myself. I think I actually projected on myself, but I just did not want to be that person that was still grieving or that was making other people feel uncomfortable, because that's the truth. People tiptoe around you when you're grieving. I have friends that stopped reaching out to me after my mom died, and according to them, they didn't know what to say. So when you feel like people are tiptoeing around you, you want to be more careful so you don't like drive away your friends or make them feel uncomfortable, which is so fucking weird. But yeah. So I was really trying to hide how bad I had it, just so that people don't feel, oh, that's that sad girl, let's avoid her. And that made it even worse. And I would just spend lots of time on my own in my room watching sad movies so I could cry. And just crying. And yeah, it was really dark. But I also thought about what like my mother would want, and I don't think she would want me to be depressed for 20 years. So yeah.
And are you still mad at God?
Yeah.
So you're still, is it irreligious or God just bloody care about it?
Do you want to do a whole different episode about that?
just a little. I mean, because you mentioned it when you were talking about
that school. Was actually definitely the beginning of me not liking, no, I wouldn't say like, but just not trusting the entire thing anymore. And from that time on, I could never pray unironically. Like whenever I tried to pray, it was just like, what the fuck are you doing? This doesn't work. You're wasting time.
Too much logic came in.
Yeah, it was like, does it even work? And I continued going to church, I mean, until last year, in 2019. But what actually was the last straw for me wasn't praying or the lack of answers to prayers. It was mostly how the ideologies in the Bible just did not agree with the values I've built my life upon. And I couldn't continue to hold those two things at the same time. So one had to go, and it wasn't going to be my values. So unfortunately,
should definitely have a different episode about
it. I have stopped going to church. I don't know if I would say like I'm agnostic or atheist yet, but I'm definitely leaning towards agnostic.
should definitely have an episode. But anyway, I think the last question I have is, you've already mentioned a few things, but what are other things that you think people should never say to people who are grieving?
Ooh, so
one of them obviously is, don't say you understand how I feel.
Yes. But also, when I told the person I was dating when my mother died, like, I think it was really okay. So when my mom died, it happened in the morning and I was holding my phone. Like, am I supposed to text people now and be like, hey, what's up? So my mom died this morning. She wasn't sick or anything. So it wasn't like, oh, we finally lost the battle. It was sudden. I think the first person I told was my friend, Ayodeji, and he took it well. But I was like, okay, I need to tell this person who I'm in a relationship with. It wasn't anything serious. I was really young, but it was still like, yeah, I have to tell him. So I think, I can't remember if it was a call or text, but I'll never forget his response was, ah, if my mother dies, I won't know what I don't know what I'll do. Ha.
That's literally what started the end, like, of your relationship, right?
Obviously. I was like, what? I think I confronted him a few years later and he didn't even remember. And that's the thing, when you say things like that to people, you don't remember because it just goes away, but they'll never forget. It's very insensitive to talk about what you would do if you were in their shoes when they tell you that happens to them. If you say, oh, if it was my mother, I would kill myself, what do you expect the person to do in that minute? To go and kill themselves? So yeah, don't say if it was me. It's not you, so just shut the fuck up. Don't say I know how you feel, even if you do. Even when people tell me now that they lost their mother or they lost their dad, I don't jump to say, oh, I know how you feel, it happened to me 5 years ago, this is now. I still tell them I don't know how you feel, because it's very different for everybody. Everybody's relationship with whoever they lost is very different, and everybody will feel grief differently. So just don't say, if it's my mother that happened, I will die, or I don't know what I will do if it happens to me, or I know how you feel. Don't say God knows best, please, I beg you.
Don't even say the person is super religious.
It happens for a reason. I mean, I guess context matters, but like, it happens for a reason. It's not really something somebody wants to hear when their loved one dies, unless it's someone who is really old and it's a celebration of life. But I don't tell people not to cry. At my mother's funeral, there was this whole thing that was going on where they were like, don't let people see you cry. Why? I think that was the beginning of repression for me. Like, they were actively telling us, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. I think people should be allowed to feel what they are feeling and grieve how they want to grieve. So don't tell people, oh, you should be strong. Like, that's the worst thing. Why should I be strong? If you just love someone who's a pillar in your life, why should you be strong? People should be allowed to grieve. I think you should tell people, oh, I know how much you love this person and I'm so sorry to hear this. Or maybe share good memories from if you've ever met the person. Or tell them you can't imagine what they're going through, but you're there for them if they need to listen or talk. I think gestures matter. When my mother died, there was someone, I wasn't even very close to her, but she came to the house and she brought fruits. And it just felt very kind. Because people were coming and then I would have to figure out, what do I give them to drink or what do I give them to eat? But this person came with like a huge bowl of fruits. And it's just like, she's thinking about me. She's thinking about what I need, which is nutrition, because nobody really eats properly after they lose a loved one. So just do stuff like that instead of coming to say, thank God it's not me or something like that. But yeah, just say you're sorry. Like, literally, I'm so sorry. I don't know how you feel. And I'm very sorry that you have to go through this. I wish I was there, or I'm here. You can talk to me. You can call me and cry. You can call me and rant. You should be around the people you love. You should make sure you're eating. And I'm sorry. Yeah, it's really easy. You don't need to, like, start saying rubbish.
Got it. I'm sorry you lost your mom, but I'm glad that you're getting better by the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not... I don't think I'm an expert on grief yet, or if I'll ever be. I don't think I've completely gotten the hang of it. But like I said, it doesn't get easier, but the load does get lighter. I still think about her every day, but it's not always sad. Sometimes it's like fond memories. I think for the first couple of years, it was even difficult for me and my siblings to share fond stories of her, because it was just very heavy to talk about her. It was like just very difficult to talk about her, but now we just randomly joke about her, remember things she used to do, and I really like that. There's something I do struggle with though. Sometimes when I'm like having a very good time, or when I'm being very happy, or when something very good is happening, I feel a bit guilty. Like, should I be happy? Should I be having a good time? Should I be moving on?
How do you deal with that?
And I think I just told myself that she would want me to be happy. She definitely would. So I just, like I said, therapy is teaching me how to interrogate my thoughts and be the master of them. So when that voice comes creeping in, I know how to counter it. I think one of the biggest challenges with losing a loved one is that you start forgetting things about them.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
It's really, I think it's one reason why people feel guilty a lot. I don't think I remember what my mother's voice sounds like. Mm. And it's just 5 years. Like, it shouldn't be this early to forget. But yeah, I think that it's very easy to forget faces. A lot of times I go and look at pictures just to remind myself. Sometimes I hear her laughter randomly, but other times it's just like, oh wait, what did she sound like again?
Mm.
And I've heard from people who lost their loved ones years and years ago that it gets worse. Like, you lose a lot of memories after some time, which is why now I'm very, very interested in documenting stuff. I take pictures, I take videos. So if you have all those things and you're forgetting, you can easily watch videos, you can look at pictures. So it's really important to document your loved ones, people. Take videos, take pictures, when they are looking, when they are not looking, when they know, when they don't know. Just document everything.
Definitely going to take that advice. Is there any other thing you want to share?
I think if you're going through grief right now, you should just remember that your person, whoever it is that you lost, would not want you to wallow in grief, would not want you to lose yourself to grief or get swallowed by the darkness. So I'm not going to say pull yourself up by the bootstraps, because that's like inspirational bullshit. But just try, do something that makes you happy. Be around people that make you happy. Allow people make you happy, and don't just allow the grief win, because it shouldn't win. Yeah.
That's such a beautiful way to end it. Fidelia, thank you so much for being vulnerable with me. Thank you.
Thanks, please. This is the hardest thing I've ever had. Well, not hardest thing I've ever had. It's one of the hardest things I ever had.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm very grateful. I'm sure that people who listen would also appreciate it.
I hope they do.
Awesome. And guys, thank you so much for listening to the end. This is the Vulnerability Podcast. Everybody has a story or two. So I hope that this makes you want to share your stories with other people too, and be seen and be heard, because you definitely deserve it. Peace out, guys. See you next episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Vulnerability Podcast. You can send us an email, vulnerabilitypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at @the.vulnerabilitypodcast. Follow your host at Peace Itimi on Twitter and Instagram. This episode was edited by Feifei and is available on all podcast listening platforms. Kindly rate, share, and review.